Blog Talk Radio.
Big fan of other, like, it says, when
whatever you believe doesn't change the fact that it happened. And this video isn't about any believers or atheists. Religion or irreligion, science or spiritual. It's about our Earth's golden age and its revolution. And decide what you want to do with it. And I'm going to turn it on and we'll go start. This is a big
weather satellites, GPS, a spy satellite, you name it, it's up there in outer space.
Oh, so you're saying that my BlackBerry won't work?
I just wanted to mention that this is called the Golden Age, Earth's Golden Age, magnetic field decline and poles shift.
Of the sunspot cycle, that's when the sun's magnetic field flips. North Pole and South Pole flip, releasing a shockwave of radiation, which will then hit the Earth minutes later, potentially wiping out a good chunk of our satellite communications. We're watching it very carefully now.
Well, Doc, this happens how often, you say?
Every 11 years.
Why an 11-year cycle?
It takes 11 years for the magnetic field of the sun to build up enough intensity to begin the flip process because it slowly revolves in a circle. It's like winding up the windings of a clock. If you wind up the mainspring of a clock too much, it comes out of control. Same thing with the sun's magnetic field. It literally flips every 11 years, releasing a shockwave of radiation. And that means we have to start to think about reinforcing our satellites, building redundant systems, because it means that GPS, the power grid, weather satellites, communication satellites, satellite television, all of that could get disrupted, peaking around 2012.
So your point is we can't do anything about it in space, but we can do something back here on Earth.
That's right.
So backup systems, are companies really doing that?
Well, they're going to have to do it, because, see, we scientists made a mistake. We thought that the next cycle was going to be quiet. Well, some of our data was off by a factor of 20. And that's why we're issuing this alert now. We made a mistake. The next cycle, peaking around 2012, will be much more serious than we previously thought. Now, in the past, we dodged a bullet because we didn't have that many satellites up there 11, 22 years ago. What if our communication systems are wiped out? Billions of economic activity could be
jeopardized. Do you think anyone's taking this seriously?
I think we're going to have to. The physicists are now sounding the alert. We made a mistake. We made the wrong projection. The next solar cycle will be more intense than previously thought. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now is the time to begin to create redundant systems, reinforce our satellites, build backup systems.
All right. Michio Kaku, the word is out.
Well, in the hit film 2012, the entire planet starts falling to pieces and actually shifts poles after the planet's core starts going south. So you can imagine it got our attention when NASA said the catastrophic earthquake in Chile was so powerful, it knocked the Earth off of its axis and shortened the length of the day.
The Earth did shift 3 inches off its axis, and the day was actually shortened by 1.26 microseconds.
How?
So this was a colossal earthquake. Remember that the Earth shifted 6 feet over a distance of several hundred miles, 20 miles underneath the ground.
And what about the shortening of time? How does it shorten the day by a couple of seconds?
Well, instead of going 24 plus or minus hours in a day, it's off by 1.26 microseconds. It's a very tiny effect, but it builds up over time. So like the GPS system, telecommunications, or space satellites will eventually have to take this into consideration.
Between reverse. are still enjoying it.
Birds and wildlife out there could actually be sure. Either confused by all of this.
If, in fact, birds navigate by compass direction, an internal compass, which some theorize they do.
That interview was taken before the dead birds fell all over the place.
Because when the Earth came around the other side here,
and the Earth was in alignment, and then the comet was a little bit closer, but they're in alignment again, and that was September 4, 2010. There was an earthquake in Christchurch, and then the Earth came back round again, and then the next time it was in alignment with the Sun, and now this is closer, March 11th, there's an earthquake in Japan. Once is a coincidence, twice is pushing it, three times, wait a minute, something's going on here. The other one that will happen is August 17th. I've gone publicly on this one because there is an alignment between the Earth, Venus, the Sun and Mercury. They're in a straight line and Nibiru is at right angles to the Sun. At August the 17th, I'm being told there's going to be a massive earthquake on the planet. It will be probably be somewhere between Alaska and San Francisco. The next alignment happens on September 26th this year, and it is between us and the Sun. And at that point, it is 0.38 away from us. When it was two away, we had a magnitude 9 earthquake. The gravitational forces, the infrared forces, they're all 25 times greater on that day. And they're saying nothing about this?
Sorry, folks, for doing this. My machines have been not working properly for days. I just had my computer fixed, and now it seems to be freezing again, and I don't know why. But anyway, it probably doesn't matter. At this point, I'm just trying to. Just my trying very hard to bring this program to you. I'm going to go away for a quick music break here. I'm sorry that I have to do this, but wait till I can get this program. I'll be back shortly.
Have been a sacred a sacred leaf that give us the messages of nature. So they have been using these leaves since the times of the Incas as the messengers from the mother, from the earth, from nature. Don Humberto says that in this life we need to share and live in community with no jealousy, no competition, but united and sharing, and not only sharing between us, in between the people, but sharing with the earth, sharing with the mountains. Doña Bernardina agrees that we have to live in community and like a family, living in a house and sharing and live like a family. They are going to do a reading with the coca leaf. It's their custom to track destiny, to look into the future with coca leaves. They throw the coca leaves, and the coca leaves will say what they're asking. He calls on the spirits of the mountains and the Pachamama, the earth, to tell us what she wants us to know. The prophecies talk about the Pachakuti. Pacha means earth, and Kuti, the turnover, the renewal of life, so the new cycle of life that is coming to us. And according to the prophecies, this is happening in the next, it's already happening, but it has its completion as the new time to come in the next 6 years. The prophecies talk about the 2012, year 2012, and December 21st as the date of when the time is turned over to the new race, to the fifth sun, to the new vibration of the light. This is a time of tremendous crisis in the world, but as any crisis brings us the opportunities to reinvent who we are, to reinvent how we want the world and what world do we want to create for our children and our children's children. The Incas are the keepers of a body of wisdom that brings us the prophecies, but also the processes. And the processes have to do with the transmission of the energy that is going to help us align with the new Inca, with the new Homo Luminous. These transmissions, the processes, are transmissions that help us align with who we are becoming, with the new race that is not just the Homo Sapiens, but the Homo Luminous. And they bring us the gift of these transmissions of energy that aligns us to that new human that is a Homo Luminous.
After our conversation, Doña Bernal blessed me. The feeling that came over me from this experience stayed with me for days. What a joy to meet such people, so grounded to the earth, so peaceful, wise, and knowing. The Incan elders know that what is really important in this world is us, our relationship to the earth and each other. Maybe the reason that we modern people surround ourselves with so many possessions is because we are not connected to each other anymore. We have begun to believe that it's our possessions that are important, so we have sacrificed our connection to each other. On my way from Denver, it was my good fortune to meet three elders of the Inca people. They had traveled all the way from the mountain.
They just gone through that. I'm sorry. I thought they were coming up with a new one. But no. I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to... what I wanted to do is I wanted to create this... I wanted to try to explain what's been happening, and it's rather difficult because, there are so many. Things that we have to know, and one of the major ones was this particular one. It's about 30 minutes long, but I thought that Kalaman, Dr. Kalaman, put a lot of time into this and study into this concept. And about a year ago, he did this particular video. It's called Ninth Wave of the Mayan Calendar, ending on the 28th of October, 2011. And that was when it was predicted that the world would really be ended, or that we shouldn't say ended, but that's when we really begin the ascension process. And so I'm going to play some of that tonight, perhaps all of it if I can get through it. And we'll go with that. To him being interviewed by Lilimus. It says, practically the whole world strongly experienced this frequency increase associated with the beginning of the ninth wave. So let's go to that. It'll explain what you know has happened.
Hello, Agency Co-Creator is leaving here in Seattle with Dr. Carl Kalman. Oh, my goodness. We meet finally in person from virtual reality to now.
I forgot to mention, she's kind of interesting, but she can be dizzy.
Being
that's
in
right.
Each other's presence is awesome. I know you're a very, very busy man, especially right now as we're getting closer to the end of the Maya calendar and the shift is happening. So thank you so, so much for taking the time. These are important conversations I feel to have right now. So you're definitely the expert on the Maya calendar. You've been studying it for a very long time and had some insights that nobody really had before. It created a shift for many, many people. In many of the interviews on the Juicy Living Tour, your name is mentioned. I really, really appreciate your work. Where do we start this conversation from? Because there's so much to talk about, especially right now. And I think there's some confusions as to the 21st of December 2012 versus the 28th of October 2011. What are really those two dates? Can you help us?
Well, in my view, the December 21, 2012 date is just a fluke. It has no meaning whatsoever. But it's been easy to sell because people think in terms of European astrology. So the whole idea of selling the midwinter solstice has appealed to people and to Hollywood and to History Channel and so forth. But if you come from the Mayan calendar, then you know that what's important about the calendar is actually the energies that rule these. And energetically, the end date must be a date that is 13 Ahau. And you have to go into the Mayan calendar a little bit in order to understand that. And that immediately disqualifies the December 21, 2012 date, which I think is just has no meaning whatsoever. And it points to, especially now when we are so strongly experiencing the frequency increase that have come to, with this ninth wave that started with the earthquake in Japan, and just an amazing amount of things that are turning our world upside down. I think it's no question that it is October 28, 2011, and it's only October 28, 2011. Some people may dispute this, but I think mostly that is for because they haven't studied the Mayan calendar, or because for ego reasons they bought into this other date at an early point without thinking deeply about it, and then they feel, oh, I can't admit that I was wrong. But I think now things have changed among people. People go more for the fact that they feel this frequency increase that has been happening now for a couple of months. And so that's really what's important. And it is important. This is not a hair-splitting issue, that's not important. It is really important in how people relate to these events and if they want to understand them from some kind of a higher perspective. And, you know, there's something else that I like to say that in this regard is that there's a difference in the whole philosophy that is associated with these two dates. The October 28th date is based on the idea that we're living in a universe that evolves according to the guidance by the divine. Mm-hmm. The December 21 idea is based on simply a mechanical process in the skies, basically, which is the precession of...
Sorry about the plane, guys, but there's a lot of planes flying in and out, so sorry for...
All the same thing.
Interrupting.
We're going up to the San Juan Islands up here. The December 21 date is literally based on a mechanical cycle, the precession of the equinoxes. And so people, that means it's disconnected to a large body of prophecies that have been produced over the ages that are saying that this is it's sort of the coming of age of humanity from the perspective of a divine plan. So that is not part of the December 21 agenda, if I put it that. But it certainly is the way to look at it when it comes to this October 28, 2011. It's there is an intelligence in the universe at play, and we're all part of that. And we're also like subordinated to it very much. We didn't start this frequency increase. We're acting in it.
So is our relationship to the universe now changing? Is our co-creation abilities, as our frequencies are increasing, how are we transforming? What's really happening on a really physical level, even?
Well, I think there are different ways of approaching it. You can look at it from the perspective of the external world, events going on there, and we've then seen this amazing amount of not only the earthquake in Japan, the nuclear crisis there, a couple of wars, new wars, the revolutions in the Arab world, the almost, you know, revolutions going on in Europe is coming, right? With a completely new meaning compared to what was the case previously.
Mm.
And I could talk about that, how they relate to the Mayan calendar in detail and so forth. But that's the external part.
Mm-hmm.
But the external part, you might say, it's coming because of ultimately, because of a change in the human beings. We don't see that because what is effective is the filter through which we perceive reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something we could ever see.
Yeah.
But we can infer that it's happening a shift towards what I would call unity consciousness. And that has a lot of consequences in people and how they experience their own lives. And at least people that I know and interact with have been very strong strongly affected by this new wave and in all kinds of ways. And very often, in a kind of disturbing way, in a way where, you know, the people break their arms. I've been suffering from a number of mishaps when I've been doing recordings or broadcasts and stuff like
that.
I heard that. You've even heard that. It makes it even worse. and so these are, it's just tells us that, you know, it's time to reconsider our directions.
Yeah.
This is not just the old world. And it's not, you know, I lost my train of thoughts there. But one of the things that are happening is that people are increasingly declutching themselves from the past. People are starting to have various kind of physical experiences, bodily symptoms,
mm-hmm.
that they cannot connect to any event. This is really what you would expect if time is coming to an end. That's the whole meaning of it. It's not really time coming to an end, but the kind of linear directed time that we've been living through for such a long time.
So you would say that all of a sudden something happens, we nearly cannot really know why it's happening right now or where it's coming from, but it is happening. But it seems also that we can quickly overcome it as well.
Yeah, we can
heal it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because of the very high frequency of this wave, we are compelled to change whatever it is we need to do. And things can be organized that otherwise would have taken months or years, and it just happens. If it's the right thing now, there's no time needed for it. So that's something that is starting to happen.
So what is this wave that we're in, and what is coming leading to the 28th
of
October?
Well, there are nine waves, and they each have a frequency. In other words, the wave is, you know, it's like simple physics in a sense, that any wave has a certain period and a frequency of change. And so there are nine waves, and each wave is 20 times has a 20 times higher frequency than the one that it emanates from or that it builds on, so to speak. So it's the Mayan calendar is a build-up of nine levels of consciousness that is metaphorically described by their pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've come to the highest of these waves, the ninth wave. And the peaks and the valleys have a duration which is as short as 80 regular days, which is 20 times shorter compared to the previous wave that we call the eighth wave or the galactic underworld. But it's not only this wave that is coming to an end on October 28, 2011. All of them are simultaneously coming to an end.
Right.
And so it means that the other waves are still acting upon it. And ultimately, it's what will be needed is an integration of all of these wave forms.
Mm.
What I find the people that are dealing the best with the frequency increase of this wave, because often it has been disturbing, but there are some people that have come back to me and say that they call in the wave. They ask for it, so to say, you know, I don't know, come and grab me, or they...
I want to be part of
it. I want to be part of it. I want to surf on this wave. Let me surf on this wave. And they described they're very happy about what is happening now. And whereas many people, and to some extent myself, have felt like it's a little bit outside of me, acting upon me, and then these mishaps happen and the disturbances of different types. But I think that, you know, to call in the way, ask for it to come, it's really a very good thing to do.
So this is just going to continue all the way to the 28th of October, or is it increasing, or is it changing? How is it evolving over time?
Well,
those cycles, those mini cycles within this wave are happening.
It's a wave, but every time there's a new peak coming in, which is really the unity consciousness energy,
mm-hmm.
which comes with the peaks, essentially, every time it's sort of added to what was previously there. So in the second half of this wave, which is after July 3rd,
mm-hmm.
then we will see that, we will experience it as if the waves become, the ups and the downs become even more strong than it already has been. So it sort of adds, it becomes more and more clearly manifest, so
yeah.
to speak. I feel the divine plan is done in such a way so that we, you know, we can adapt stepwise to peak by peak, if you like, to the incoming shift in consciousness.
Is there such a thing as our civilization coming to an end or a new beginning, as some others have in the past, like transforming in light beings, or some civilization that really took off in a very special way, or maybe we're then transported to a different galaxy? Is there really such a thing as a new Earth emerging from all this?
Well, you know, the word civilization, it comes from civitas in Latin, meaning city, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think civilization comes to an end in the sense that city-based life, which this is, will come to be phased out. You know, it's not that I'm saying that October 28, 2011, all the cities would be wiped out or something like that. But at that date, the field will be established on the planet that will change the world. My view is that it will go in the direction of a world of connected, exciting villages rather than big cities. And it's an important part because, you know, cities, in the way they have emerged in history, is basically by exploding the countryside. And it's an expression of the whole dominance of this one of these waves, which is the sixth wave, the national underworld, as they also called it. And so I see that happening. I have no argument either for or against that we would move out into space or something like that. But I don't see it happening from my perspective of the Mayan calendar. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. So what is, a lot of people are actually, there's a lot of marketing happening around 2012.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot
yeah.
of teachers. There's a
yeah.
lot of trips being organized.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious and kind of crazy in a way.
Yeah.
Part of it is the work, is the way that the American society works, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That people
yes.
get interested. It attracts a lot of business-oriented people, business-minded
yeah.
people, and that detracts from the quality of much of what is being said.
So the focus is really in our everyday life, in connecting with others and reconnecting with nature and opening our heart and opening up to the wave?
The focus of the wave, you know, we'll have to go properly. Only the designer of the wave, which, you know, I would call God, knows what it's about, and fully. I think it is about transforming the world into a world based on unity consciousness. And what that means is that it's a world where all forms of dominance have disappeared, not only in human society, but also, for instance, between man and nature. And the case of city to countryside is another, just a part of it. And so that is what I see. I don't believe that on this particular end date of the calendar that everything would just fall into place or something like that. But I do believe that the cosmic field is then established, and then the direction is clear, and the people will start to reorganize their world. And based on the reorganization that they made in the relationship to themselves, mm-hmm. to other, and to God.
Mm-hmm. So it's time for clearing.
Yes.
It's time for cleaning up. I hear a lot of people say about being authentic and true.
Yeah.
To ourselves.
Yes.
With others.
Yes.
To clean up our acts.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that are being said, but truly this feels like an opportunity. A lot of people are questioning also, where should I be on that day?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that invite me to be there or this or there. And on my own part, it's, I think there will be such a turmoil in the time until then that's outside of my ability to decide, so to speak. And it's also that it's not a date. I've never said that, and I don't think any serious student on the Mayan calendar would say that. It's a process. The Mayan calendar is always about processes. And now we are in the process of the ninth wave primarily influencing us. And that wave will come to a completion, and maybe we could think about where we want to be. But
do you envision a natural catastrophe? Is that part of it? A lot of people say also that there's too much population.
That is obvious, and it's almost impossible to see the planet having the population on the planet is scheduled to become 7 billion almost exactly on October 28, 2011. But I think it's just impossible to envision that that's a viable number of people. I think that's not what this planet is made for, so to speak.
Are you preparing new projects? Are you working on some things that are exciting in the future, something that you're looking at that are really intriguing you?
Yeah. Well, there's a number of things. I'm trying to write a new book, which is only about the ninth wave. I say I'm trying because it's not the way it used to be that I could maybe find a year or so to write a book. There's no chance here. Not only that it would be obsolete by that time, but it's also difficult to find the time in it. So that's one thing. Another thing that I'm working on and really want to that people know about is this event, which will be at the midpoint of the whole ninth wave, July 3rd, which is the so-called Jerusalem Hug. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, okay. So
bring it on.
It's an event that is taken place a couple of times before, and partially based on the Mayan calendar dates. Now we're having it, and it's the way it's been is that a couple of thousand people coming from wherever are encircling, holding hands, the old city of Jerusalem. Pouring their love into this city. And it's all, ultimately, I think you might say, it's about trying to create the miracles that and some miracles have really happened in loosening up the divisions that characterize this city, which is really like the Berlin of the religions, if you like. And so it's always been there too, with different kind of ceremonies. I shouldn't say always been there. It has happened a couple of times before, ever since we had the breakthrough celebration in May of 2007. But now I'm trying to encourage people, or I'm encouraging people to be part of this also at a distance, in order to, you know, create like global medicine wheels, like circles, if nothing else, mentally, through modern internet technology on the 3rd of July, that would create outer sort of backup circles for people that still have the same feeling about seeing the importance of creating oneness and freedom for everyone in this particular city, and the acceptance of everyone to worship whatever religion they have in that particular city. And this is, you know, the Bible talks about the new world after the end time, so to speak, as the new Jerusalem. And not that I think that it's only in Jerusalem, but look upon that as, you know, a metaphor for the new consciousness, the unity consciousness, and that if there is peace in Jerusalem, there is also peace in the rest of the world. If there is peace in the rest of the world, it's also peace in Jerusalem. And so even if, you know, I'm not saying that there will be peace overnight anywhere, mm-hmm. but I do see this as a very important thing. And I do encourage people to become part of it also at a big distance.
Yeah, because this is really, it feels like it's really a time for us as individuals to be the leaders. It's not anymore or the science or the politicians or them, but it's us. It's really us getting together, as happened in Egypt, you know, on Facebook, or this in Jerusalem, that we are the one that are going to make this shift.
The others have tried, and you can't deal yourself to a peace like that. It really has to come from the heart, you know, it's also the idea that what happens in one part of the world is really the concern of the rest of the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just their problem, so to speak. It's really our problem, and if you want to call it a problem, but yes, that's so much what is happening now, that what you're saying, that it's the whole idea, dominance going away, and meaning leadership going away. And there's a lot to say about that. You know, there is a risk, of course, that people say, I don't want to be a leader. But I think I had a discussion with James Redfield not long ago, and he said something that I thought was very important. He pointed out that who says that you have to be a leader all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to stop yourself from taking initiatives and that people. But the whole idea is that, you know, I'm always the leader. That is where it goes a little bit wrong, I think. That it's not an identity, but it's taking initiatives, and you shouldn't stop yourself from taking initiatives, but you shouldn't go into any kind of a identity trap.
Because leadership is really an energy, too.
Yeah.
It is, more than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah. And
which then helps other people to become leaders in their own lives. So really the word leader becomes obsolete and it needs a new word.
Because
we're really co-creating. That's ultimately what's really happening.
Yes. We're starting to need new words. That's a good point. And it becomes, another example of this is the word democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we've seen now in North Africa, but also in Spain especially.
The name of Spain. In Spain, especially,
and I'm sure it's coming in other different European countries, like Greece and Portugal and so forth. Also, is that they are not content with giving the power away every 4 years or electing. You know, Spain is a technically speaking a democracy, as is the United States, meaning that every 4 years or 7 years or whatever, you choose who you will give your power away to. And this is going out. The people that have been protested in Spain, you know, I read one interview there. The guy was called Mario, I think. But he declined to say his last name. Not that he was afraid of repercussions or anything like that, but simply because he said the last thing we want is some new leader. They're opposing the whole idea of having a class of people being, ruling their country, even if it's technically speaking democracy. So what is coming with this ninth wave and its transcendence of dominance is something much deeper. It's you could call it true democracy, or it's something that it's not covered by saying the democratic institutions, because that is becoming obsolete. People want something deeper, where they actually are participating and are not giving the power away to somebody else.
It feels more like a liberation of some sort.
Yes.
Liberating all this
freedom.
Energy,
yeah.
And freedom, real,
yeah.
Freedom.
Real freedom, not freedom as a big word of fanfares. No, real freedom. That's what's coming.
Mm. Amazing. Is there something else that you would like us to know?
Well, I put had a lot of attention recently on the comets that are coming, and I do think what is interesting then is that it's not just one comet. Most people have heard about the Elenin comet, but there is also the Honda comet that is coming in August already, and there is even one coming slightly after called the Lee comet. But it's interesting because they're coming now as the Maya calendar is coming to an end, and there's all kinds of speculations around it. And if you look at the official astronomical site, you know these are very small comets and. They are not going to be close to the Earth and so forth. But I feel, you know, I'm not, what shall I say? I don't think I'm not on firm scientific ground when I'm saying this, but I do feel that here, at the very least, these comets are part of the more cosmic consciousness that will be developed by the second half of the ninth wave. So the second half starts July 3rd when the Jerusalem Haggis, and then it goes all the way to October 28th. So at the very least, people will have a lot of attention on them, they are part. And I tend to think that somehow they will be interacting with us. There will be some meaning of ancient prophecies talking about a couple of comets in the end times. So I'm just right now writing an article about this particular topic. I think they will come to play a big role somehow. And I think they will explain some old prophecies that we have not previously been able to make sense of. I think there will be something spectacular and maybe frightening to some going on in the space around the planet.
Are there solar flares or?
No, I don't really. I have never taken an interest in that.
Okay. Well, this is quite something. What is happening? This is really something, and I'm so grateful for this conversation and be able to share this. And we will do it in French now.
Okay.
This is exciting.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Much love, my beautiful co-creators from Seattle. Sorry for the planes, but this is life.
That's
part of it.
Thank you for listening.